Welcome to the Live Up podcast, where we rewatch the movies from our youth to see if they live up. We will review, discuss, and score the movie in question to see if it lives up to us now as adults and whether it would live up to kids today. I'm Jess Latterman.
And I'm Amanda Treat. You know, one of my favorite things about the holiday season is making Jess watch a completely unhinged Christmas movie that she's never watched before.
Unhinged.
Last year, I made Jess watch the classic Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And this year, ooh, have I got a movie for you. Hey, Jess, you like the Christmas movie Home Alone, right?
Loved it.
And you like Keanu Reeves. Everybody likes Keanu Reeves.
Love him.
And I know you like musicals.
Yep.
But have you ever seen a Keanu Reeves Christmas musical?
I have now, and I'm not sure I'm better for it.
Today, we're reviewing the 1986 made-for-TV movie Babes in Toyland, starring Drew Barrymore, Pat Morita from The Karate Kid, and a young first-time actor from Canada by the name of Keanu Reeves. Singing. All of them are singing, except for Drew Barrymore, who can't sing and had someone else do all their songs for her. My siblings and I taped Babes in Toyland off of television in the 1980s, and we watched it over and over and over again without ever stopping to ask, what the hell is up with this movie? It's a real hidden treasure if you haven't seen it.
Is it though?
So...
I had never really, I guess I had heard of this movie, but not really. It like completely blew by me.
No, it's been buried, I think, but it's amazing in certain ways. Jess, I know you had never seen this movie before, and I'm dying to know what you think of it.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to summarize the plot of this concussion hallucination of a Christmas movie?
So I think a concussion hallucination of a Christmas movie is like a great summary in a way. I mean, if you ask like ChatGPT to say, hey, tell me what is a concussion hallucination of a Christmas movie, I feel like they'd be like, now playing Babes in Toyland.
1986, Keanu Reeves in Babes in Toyland.
Yeah. All right. So I challenge those who have actually seen this movie to try to summarize it. But I'm going to give it a whirl with my virgin watching eyes. So Babes in Toyland is a low-rent Christmas-themed Wizard of Oz set an imagined 1950s furry convention. Except instead of a sham wizard who wants power, you have a villain dressed in bad drag. And instead of throwing water over the witch, you apparently just need to stop a child bride wedding. And that is the best I could do. But that's what it is.
Yeah, that's a fair summary.
I think, maybe IMDb has something different, but that's my summary.
I think it's worth mentioning that there are other Babes in Toyland movies, and that this is kind of a Christmas thing. There's a 1903 operetta that all of this is based on, and then there was a 1934 Laurel and Hardy version of this. I haven't seen any of those. I do recall seeing there's a 1961 version made by Disney with Mouseketeer Annette Funicello as Mary quite contrary. And someone had it on at the background of a holiday party I was at when I was probably like 5. And even then I remember thinking like, this is cringy and weird. And probably moving to the cookie table at that point and not watching it. It was like uncomfortable to watch, if I recall.
So Elena was like, oh, Babes in Toyland, I've seen this. And it's so unusual that she's seen something that I haven't. And I was like, oh, really? And then we watched the trailer together. She's like, no, I have not seen this.
No, nope, not that one.
She saw the 60s version, which I imagine is probably of similar quality.
It's a similar plot, but like there's none of this going to Toyland. It doesn't start and end in the modern day. It's the full thing is in this fairy tale land, but we're still doing the kidnapping and the extortion and the child bride thing.
Oh, okay. So, just, all the important bits. Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
They caught the heart of it there. And I do want to call out that the version we taped off of television was 145 minutes long.
That is and too long.
Yeah, the version you and I just watched has been mercifully cut down to about 90 minutes. And it cut out some of the campier songs, especially Keanu's like big solo, but that's okay, because I know all these songs by heart. I've watched the movie that many times.
I'm going to implore you not to sing those songs. But
yeah.
I guess we'll have to find them. I am curious for listeners, though, if they do remember watching the longer version and whether they've watched it recently.
Anyone who grew up on the 2 hours and 25 minute version will recall a song where Keanu Reeves is in jail singing through the bars to his girlfriend, Mary. And they cut that song, and it's so tragic.
I mean, that sounds like not bad.
That was going to be the worst, like the lowest point in this movie, in this viewing, and they cut it completely. So I was a little sad about that because that song is so uncomfortable.
Okay, well, I feel like we have some runner-up uncomfortable moments that we could talk about. But at this point, I have to disclose, the company I work for actually sells the 4K discs and the Blu-ray discs. But Amanda and I decided to do this movie kind of before I realized that, or as I was realizing
but
that.
I feel like you can write this whole episode off as overtime for work.
Maybe I can.
You're doing your job. You're just doing your job.
I just feel like I need to disclose it. And if for some reason my coworkers find this podcast and listen to it, just like, please don't fire me. I don't know.
So you're just giving an honest product review.
And should we give ourselves a concussion and dive into Toyland?
Ooh, yes. Okay. One more time into the concussion.
Into the concussion. Yeah.
Normally we go character by character through the movies. This movie, we have to go through plot point by plot point because it doesn't make sense. So we're giving this the Mad Max treatment, as we call it on this show.
Mad Max and Pee Wee Herman treatment.
Yes.
And maybe you have seen this, but I think you still need a refresher, honestly. Because I just watched this movie last night and I'm like, what happened? So take me through, Amanda. Where do we start?
Well, this whole movie is all about Cincinnati at its heart.
Cincinnati now?
A word, Cincinnati, did not need to be a word in the English language vocabulary, but probably comes up 100 times in this movie.
Yeah.
Cincinnati.
Yeah.
So we have a young 11-year-old Lisa, who is a child too old for her age. She's really one of those too smart child acts. Like an adult characters, that's the whole trope. She's at home with her sister. Her sister's about to go to work at the toy store, and there's a blizzard coming. And the mom is calling in because they're out somewhere stranded. And her mom is a train wreck.
She is
the funniest way possible. She is a great 1980s train wreck mom. Oh. So we say goodbye to the sister, and then they're forecasting on the news that the blizzard's gonna hit within an hour, and suddenly, just like Home Alone, a tree falls down and knocks out the phone lines, which is exactly why we can't call Kevin McAllister either. Maybe it's the same storm. I don't
Maybe.
Even know.
Just blew through Chicago and Cincinnati at the same time.
So Lisa, the child who's acting like an adult, decides she's going to walk to her sister's store and tell her to get out of there because the blizzard's coming and she shouldn't be working on Christmas Eve. We get to the store and it's managed by Mr. Barney, played by Richard Mulligan from, he was like the nice neighbor on Golden Girls. And then
That's
he
right.
had
and
that
he
TV show that used to follow Golden Girls called Empty Nest.
Yeah.
Like, super nice guy. Super jerk in this movie.
I mean, so he plays the boss, I guess, of essentially a toy store or like...
He's a toy store
sort of
CBS, manager.
Like a Walgreens.
Yeah.
And he's just like, he's a Me Too nightmare. I mean...
Oh, yeah. He is harassing the heck out of Lisa's sister. And it's a toy store and it's Christmas Eve. You're just set up to dislike this guy. He's got no redeeming qualities whatsoever.
None. And I should pause to say, I did end up watching this with my kids. I didn't think it was going to work out that way because I started watching it late, actually. And so I was like, oh, we could just watch the first 20 minutes. And my daughter, who's, you know, Lily, who's 11, she like gave me some side eye when this guy came on the screen and started harassing Mary, the sister.
Yeah, the older sister.
And I'm like, well, it's an older movie.
Yeah, because up until this moment, this is pretty much like a Hallmark Christmas movie.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we're going to go work at the toy store on Christmas Eve. Like, it just sounds like it's going to be pleasant. But no, this guy's a jerk. You do get a very epic scene where all of them quit and tell him off and like throw teddy bears at him briefly.
Yeah.
Like, that part was always really fun to me as a kid. So Mary's coworkers are Jack, played by Keanu Reeves, and then George, who's Jack's BFF, maybe. The three of them simultaneously quit when Lisa shows up. Storm out. It's like, I always envisioned quitting would be like tell off your boss and like threaten to sue each other and throw something at him and storm out the door. Like, it's
throw
fun.
Throw a teddy bear
it's
at
nice.
Him. Sure.
Yeah. So they are getting into Jack's Jeep, which he's claiming it has four-wheel drive. We'll get through the snowstorm. And it's not handling the road conditions very well. They're skidding, they're sliding. And Jess, you know what that's like. We took a New Year's trip up to Canada that time.
Oh,
and
we
spun
do, yeah.
my parents' Volvo station wagon off the road.
I think
that
at
was
some
fun.
Point we were like, wee, because it was like spinning yeah. off the road on an exit ramp. And listeners, this was like rural New Hampshire and Vermont at this point. So there's like no cars around. So it was fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
There
to
was
do
no
some
one
slaloming.
Who. We didn't have cell phones. No one was going to find us. We were like bouncing off snowdrifts.
Didn't we have to push the car?
Yeah, we had to pop the clutch on my parents' car.
I think
and
it was
just...
my car. Was it my car? Or your
I thought it was
car?
Mine.
It doesn't matter. Not.
Yeah, whatever happened, there was pushing. Jess pushed, and I left the passenger side door open. We got the car started. And she ran
car.
Around and dove into the front seat, so and off we went. Yeah, so good times. That was the 2000s, by the way. That was not the 1980s.
Yeah.
But anyway.
And I don't think either of us got a concussion and went to toilet.
No.
But, you know.
No.
Maybe you did.
Magically made it to where we were going and left instead of freezing to death in the snow in the middle of somewhere where no one was going to find us.
Oh, man.
Anyway, Keanu Reeves' Jack is driving one of those cars where it's mm-hmm. swerving left and right. They're trying to get home. And spontaneously... Jack decides that they're all going to sing a song about Cincinnati. And holy shit, this song.
It's like, what?
It's such an earworm, too, because I grew up listening to this and I know every single word to this song. I literally, as I was typing out notes for this episode, have to rely on the song to be able to spell the word Cincinnati. So I'm typing it C-I-N-C-I-N-N-A-T-I, Cincinnati. Like, right now, my husband is downstairs watching the Bengals game and was like, who are you watching? C-I-N-C-I-N-N-A-T-I. Okay, hey, Monday Night Football. Good luck with that. This song has been in my head all week since I watched this movie for the podcast. And listeners, I need a concussion at this point. I need this stupid song out of my head. I've been in business meetings and in the back of my head, it's just like C-I-N-C-I-N-N-A-T-I, Cincinnati. Oh my God.
It's like... It's not even like, oh, we're on a road trip and singing. Like, presumably they're just going up the road and they just start to sing. The same road that Lisa had just like walked in the snow. At this point, Elena was sitting to watch with us and she just looked at me and she goes, is this movie for real? And then she just got up and left.
Yeah, no, I mean, this song is a huge nope moment. Like, get out while you can, Elena.
And we haven't even like started the cringe part at this point. Like, this is just the beginning.
There's a line in this song where it says, at first they called it Cincy, but since Cincy was so natty, they named it Cincinnati to this day. Like,
oh,
what?
I didn't even catch
Who
that.
Wrote these lyrics? Oh my God, they are so stupid. This makes the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer lyrics look like genius.
Oh, I don't know. Okay.
At first they called it Cincy, but since Cincy is so natty, Jess.
Yeah, I mean,
Let that rattle around in your brain for a week.
I watching this movie, I was like, there were parts of it that I couldn't help but compare to Rudolph, because that is the other movie that you made me watch that is like ridiculous. And there is a part, I'm going to skip ahead here, where the toy master or whatever is like singing in his like toy shed. And it just looks like a rundown Michael's store. And I was just thinking, like...
Oh, you know what? I thought it was a Hallmark gift shop. Like, okay. Next to the card section, they'd
sure.
have all the trinkets that they sell for Christmas, including those little... I don't know what they're called, but they're kind of like little windmills that you put candles under and they spin a little bit. My mom had a ton of those in the 80s.
Weird crap that you don't need. That kind of store, but like, let's pretend the store had been abandoned for 5 years. Like, that's what it looked like. But anyway, so the Toy Master is singing and I'm thinking to myself... This is no Land of Misfit Toy song in here. And
no.
I'm like, oh my God, I just all of a sudden felt like I missed Rudolph. In that moment.
We found a worse musical. Yes.
Oh my God. Yeah.
All right. So they're in the car singing about how wonderful Cincinnati is, and a tree falls down in the road. Jack swerves suddenly, and it's one of those Jeeps where the windows you had to like clip the plastic bits in, because normally it would be like a convertible.
I was wondering why it looked like a zipper, but okay.
It was, yeah. So he takes a hard turn. Lisa goes flying out the back, and she conveniently is sitting on a sled I'm not sure. We understand she was given the sled, but I don't know why you would sit on the sled inside the car. So she goes sliding down a hill through the snow, and you see the tree trunk coming closer and closer and closer, and then a huge bonk, and suddenly she's floating in Toyland. This is pretty much the structure of the Wizard of Oz, but Dorothy got, what, hit by a window in that? Something. There was a tornado.
There was a tornado. And yeah, it's and all the characters from the store. So Barney becomes Barnaby, and Jack is Jack B. Little.
Jack B. Nimble.
The Jack B. Nimble. And they all become characters in Toyland. And, you know, the teddy bears, weirdly, are like full size and
full size non-speaking teddy bears.
Yeah, this is where it was kind of 1950s furry convention to me, because I was like, this is kind of weird. Yeah, that is where it's the structure of a Wizard of Oz, like a really low budget.
I'm so excited I made just watch this, because it just gets weirder.
It does just get weirder. And you're sort of introduced to Toyland with the Barnaby, the villain character, at a wedding where he's marrying the sister who's Mary. But they're basically getting married, and Amanda's going to have to explain to me why they need to get married. But it has such, like, child bride vibes going on.
Oh, yeah.
It's...
I mean, you've already been made to cringe when you see this character, because his real-life doppelganger is the most sexually harassing boss that you could possibly have as a teenager.
Yeah.
So now he's marrying this older sister character in the Toyland world. You want an explanation? It's very similar to Who Framed Roger Rabbit. It all comes down to legal issues and real estate claims.
Yeah, you know, I was.
We love a little real estate law. Yeah, and kids' movies. We really love what happened in this version is that Mary's mother.
Still a train wreck, even in Toyland.
Oh, she's the best character, honestly. Like, watching this again, I was just like, I love the mom. That's played by Eileen Brennan, who's, like, a famous.
She was
nominated for an Oscar. She was in Clue. She's Miss Peacock.
Yeah.
Another one of these actors on our podcast, much like Kevin Costner, who has both a solid Oscar nomination and Razzie nomination under her belt. So she's. Yeah. A Tony Award winning actress. She's a lot of fun. I like her a lot here. Total hot mess of a character.
Absolutely hilarious. She lives in a
shoe. She's Old Mother Hubbard, which is not the character in, if you go back to all those nursery rhymes, like, it's slightly wrong. It's supposed to be the,
Isn't she the old woman who lived in the shoe, who had too many kids,
didn't know what to do. But in this one, they're like, oh, that woman moved into a pair of boots. So then Old Mother Hubbard, with her million kids, moved into the old boot. So, like, she screwed up the mortgage for some reason. And then Barnaby, who is the evil guy in Toyland, he's going to foreclose on them and kick all the kids out in the street unless she has her eldest daughter marry him. So, yes, child bride, extortion.
I loved her in this, too. She was so funny because she forgets her kids' names. At some point, Lisa, the Drew Barrymore character, accuses her of, like, you just wanted to marry your daughter off to pay off your mortgage. And it's like, all of a sudden, we're talking about interest rates in this movie.
We're in Toyland, where they've explained the sun shines all the time. And every unit of payment seems to be a cookie in some form. In their economy, she has her mortgage about to be foreclosed on. She is just hitting on everyone, left and right.
She's like, she wants more kids. I don't know.
I guess so. She's already got a million. She can't remember their names, but yeah. She's hitting on, like, the preacher. She's hitting on Barnaby. She's probably hitting on Jack when Mary's not looking. Like, just, everywhere. She seems like she's probably got a strong bottle of something inside that boot, but
she's
we'll
definitely
never
playing
know.
It kind of drunk. Like, I mean, that's just sort of how I read it. That, like, she's just the drunk.
Like, drunken train wreck of a mom.
Yeah. You know, she, like, ended up on, like, Judge Judy for some sort of, like, rental dispute with a landlord. Like, that's the vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That she didn't pay enough cookies and now they're being foreclosed on.
Oh, man, I've lost the thread here.
All right. So there's a wedding going on in Toyland right when Lisa lands in the middle of the wedding cake because she falls out of the sky after her concussion. And she bumps into this character, Georgie, who's based on the friend at the toy store, Georgie Porgy, but he's also a super exposition man. So they're walking down the street. He's just like, oh, this is exactly what's happening, and this is why it's happening, and that character over there is the villain. Like, literally says that and points at Barnaby, which And it's just like, okay, like I guess this is helpful for small kids who can't stick with the plot, but also like you don't need to tell anyone he's the villain. He's dressed all in black. We just saw him being a huge jerk in all the previous scenes. Like, we get
So
it. We got
I
it.
thought it was funny when he's like, and that's the villain. Like, that made me laugh. I felt like that was like a little bit of adult humor. But yeah, as I said, I watched this with my kids, and
Oh, see,
obviously.
I just thought it was really poor writing.
Oh, really? That's so funny because it's so obvious to my that who the villain is, even to kids. And you know, he's basically his costume, just to flip back to Barney slash Barnaby. He is wearing all black. He has black fingernails. He's like in bad drag. I mean, there's a feather, sort of a busted feather boa that he's kind of wearing. So
He's very feathery, yeah.
I feel like he's dressed like if you were going to dress like a Skeksis from The Dark Crystal.
Ooh.
It's like dress like Skeksis, but make it drag.
Like Skeksis Elvira. That
There's
could be my
nothing hot
Halloween
about
costume
that.
next year.
Yeah, maybe
I like my obscure Halloween costume,
a
Skeksis
Skeksis drag
Elvira.
show would be that's what it is.
This stupid wedding is going on. Everybody's like cringing, but like letting it happen. And Lisa, with all her bravery, the adult child in the room here, steps up and objects in the middle of the wedding and says she doesn't love him. They shouldn't get married. And everyone does a big like nobody else had thought of that. And
But mom is
she
mad. She's not going to get her mortgage
and the
payment.
mom, yeah, she's about to lose the house over this move. But I need to say my favorite thing about this whole movie is Barnaby in Toyland is Jack's uncle, so they're related in this scenario. And Jack is like trying to fight his uncle, and he's being held back by adult-sized teddy bears. And just watching adult-sized teddy bears hold Keanu Reeves back from a fight, that will never not be funny to me. It's awesome. It's so funny.
It's so funny. And like, because the adult-sized teddy bears, they're like playing the police officers too. So it's
And they
like.
don't have the ability to talk, so they're just there with their like dead teddy bear faces, holding him by the arms, and he's like fighting them, and just you get nothing from the teddy bears. It's
My
so
God.
weird.
It's so weird. I think at some point before Elena was like, is this for real? And left, she was like, I think I could see the zipper on all the teddy bear costumes. Like, so low rent.
Oh, you're ruining the illusion.
The Keanu Reeves character, like, he really loves Mary. Like, they're basically, star-crossed lovers, really, I
They're
guess.
childhood sweethearts because they're literally still children.
Because you have the child bride plot. I
I
know.
mean, they're
You're like.
teenagers. They do say that Jack, Keanu's character, is 20, about to be
Oh, okay.
21,
That's right. They do age
but
him. Yeah, you kind of go
whatever.
from, like, potential child bride wedding. And then, not to give it away, but the movie then ends with essentially a teenage wedding. I mean, it's like, where do you
Yeah.
go? I guess it's an upgrade.
But they're the same age, so you know.
So it's fine.
That's fine.
It's fine.
They're making great decisions in Toyland. Lisa, at this point, Georgie yells, "Let's hear it for Lisa!" And spontaneous parade, which I gotta think is like every child's dream. Like she did the bare minimum, and they pull out a marching
Is
band.
this
They
when
put
they
her
do
on a
like
float.
the Girl of the Week song?
Yeah, let's hear it for the girl of the hour or something like that.
I should pause to say that none of this struck my kids as weird. Like, we're talking about how weird this is with the
No.
wedding, and even, similar to, like, not as much, but similar to when I watched Dark Crystal with the kids, they were really like completely followed the plot without any kind
Oh,
of.
yeah.
They're like, oh yeah, well, she stopped the wedding, so they're like excited for her. Like, they completely got it. So the idea that they would have a parade, like you were saying, it is, it's like kind of like a fun kid dream, and they totally are like, yeah, this makes sense. Total sense.
Yeah, no,
Yeah.
kid me who watched this on repeat so many times, I've probably lost weeks to my life for this movie.
That's
Like,
really too bad, Amanda.
it really is a shame.
When you
But
could have
at the
been
time, it
watching
was just
like
like.
Overboard and Hook and all these other
Instead, I
movies.
had this and I had Rudolph
Oh
on
my
the same
God.
VHS cassette over and over and over. Yeah, I never even questioned. Like, of course they have a parade, you know? Like, she's the hero of this whole scene. And it's just like so stupid when you watch it as an
It's
adult.
also funny because I was like, okay, Girl of the Week, and they kind of change the lyrics. It's like Girl of the Week, Girl of the Month, Girl of the Year, and I'm like, okay, so like, is this a thing in Toyland? Where are all the other girls of the week? Like, are they also married to Barnaby? Like, what is happening
How do
here?
they even have time if it's sunlight all the time? Like, just there isn't a day. You can't have a girl of a day if the day never ends. It just keeps going on for eternity. You don't have weeks. You don't have just the time-space continuum of Toyland. Oh, break it down. At this point, Barnaby, having his wedding interrupted, he's off in a huff in the giant bowling ball where he lives.
Because where does he live, Amanda?
He lives in a giant bowling ball.
Yeah. What?
That he occasionally gets... We're told he occasionally gets angry and rolls it down the street, knocks people over. And you know what? You can't just say that and not show us him doing that. I want to see that scene. There's a whole fight at the end and he didn't roll the bowling ball down the hill. That would have been amazing. Made for TV movie. Didn't have the budget to roll a bowling ball down and like kill a bunch of people.
The term "it didn't have the budget" could actually be applied to a fair amount, I think, of what's going on here. But the bowling ball house gets funnier to me as the movie goes on, because there's like three holes, you know, for where like your fingers go in a bowling ball, and that serves as the windows. And like at some point, like Barnaby and two henchmen like pop out as if they're like looking out the window.
Yeah, it's the windows. They're in the windows.
And I was like, is this a metaphor of the bowling ball? I'm like, no, this is just like random.
You're overthinking it.
It is just completely random. Villain lives in a black bowling ball. If that's what it is.
Like
it's giant, so funny to me.
Giant bowling ball.
Yeah. That has a secret dungeon. It's very funny.
He's got this whole underground lair under the bowling ball. So there, it's a bowling ball with an extensive basement, like Silence of the Lambs size basement.
Oh no, don't bring Buffalo Bill into the chat.
Oh, this guy definitely has some like pits down in his basement.
Oh, good Lord.
He's got moths. 100%. He's making a human suit. Yeah, Mary, you dodged
the bullet.
That's
what happened
there,
to all the other girls of the week.
All the other child brides. Oh, God. Oh. No. You don't want a parade in this town.
No,
you end up in the skin suit.
The top prize for girl of the week is not a good one.
No. So down in the bowling ball lair, this giant, kind of looks like a condor or just like a very poorly constructed Muppet. But he's got this thing that has one giant eyeball that turns into a spy. Or it's kind of like the mirror in Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, like, it looks
like
a giant.
You can tell it to show him things.
It's like a giant stuffed pigeon. It's like a not scary Skeksy from Dark Crystal.
I genuinely felt bad for this thing because it's acting like a dog.
If you're going to have a basement lair, you have to have a pet that you love, right? And we learned this from Buffalo Bill in Silence of the Lambs.
All right, so Barnaby starts plotting immediately, like, all right, you know, I got to get rid of my nephew, Jack. He's interrupting my plans. I don't want him to inherit the cookie factory. So let's get him arrested for grand theft cookie larceny.
I love that crime. That's the best crime.
Yeah. So there's this big scene where the two henchmen and Barnaby go to the cookie factory. They yell cookie break and everybody celebrates and leaves. No suspicion at all.
I love
cookie
that.
Break. Yay.
Who knew villainy is so easy in Toyland? It's hilarious.
It's, oh, they're so naive.
Yeah.
But they seem genuinely happy. Cookie break? Yes.
I'm going to try to just yell that at a bank. Everyone's going to leave.
If you're working in the cookie factory 24 hours a day because the sun never sets and someone finally comes in and gives you a break, like, yes, it's a cookie break. Get me out of here.
Yeah.
I don't think they have a cookie union. From what I could see.
I mean, maybe they do because they have like mortgage rates and...
They do have mortgages.
You know.
Cookie mortgages.
Cookie mortgages going on. So
I mean, they're basically making the currency for this entire town. So yeah, cookie break. Everybody leaves. They go into the storeroom and take 6 months of cookies off the shelves. And actually, as a kid and even now, I really like this scene where they just trash the cookie factory. Like, it's funny.
Yeah.
His little goon guys are like playing baseball with the cookies and smashing them, and they're just having a lot of fun making a mess. That appealed to me as a kid a lot. I mean, I'd really like to smash a cake with a baseball bat. That looks like fun.
Yeah, no, it had like a satisfying quality to like, they're like also sliding the cookies in a big chute down. There's like a hole in the floor.
There's a hole that goes to this underworld that is attached to the bowling ball.
Which is its own like weird thing. You just kind of accept it. Like, again, my kids just sort of accepted this as the plot. And they're like, yeah, well, that's where the cookies go.
since real estate is clearly a part of this movie, I feel like the whole town of Toyland is literally on top of this underground labyrinth of darkness and goons. And then it's surrounded by the forest of the night, where it's night all the time. And there's also creepy trolls running through there. Like, why would you have that location for your 24-hour sunshine, happy cookie land? It seems like poor urban planning, if you ask me.
It's very poor urban planning. I mean, this is where you're getting whiffs of Mad Max in here, because, you know, does the whole thing run on pig shit too? I don't know. It might.
It might. You don't know what's going on under the cookie factory.
I mean, we already have someone in bad drag. There might as well be somebody in some sort of sweaty leather
down there.
There's
probably a Thunderdome somewhere in this town.
I mean, two stuffed bears enter, one bear leaves.
Oh my God. Bears coming in with a chainsaw and a mace. That would be, this is the crossover movie we need.
Yes,
somebody pitch this. I want Babes in Toyland, Thunderdome.
But make it Thunderdome. Yeah, that would be interesting.
So Barnaby calls the cops. I'm saying that with humor because it's like one old dude and a bunch of teddy bears.
But the teddy bears, like their cop car, like their cop motorcade is essentially, it looks like a Disneyland tram.
It's like a little, little toy train.
Yeah. It's kind
with
of
a,
cute.
With a jail car in the back. So they arrest Jack, and now he's locked up in the back of this toy train thing.
I cannot believe his career survived this movie.
Love the theory that somebody put up online that this is the actual John Wick origin story. That he is in there and was like, I was trying to inherit a cookie factory, and then my uncle framed me for a crime, and then I got kidnapped, and then I had to murder someone. This is way better than, my wife gave me a dog and someone hurt the dog.
Is that the John Wick? I've never seen a John Wick movie.
Yeah, John Wick's as angry and violent as he is because someone killed his dog, but really, he's angry because he's related to this psychopath who is trying to marry his teenage girlfriend and steal the cookie factory from him.
Well, yeah, I mean, this sounds
like get the guns out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Jack be nimble, Jack be John Wick.
And it's not that Keanu Reeves is bad in this movie. I actually think he's sort of like dopey funny in this movie. It's very similar to his Bill and Ted performance, which is very similar to his performance in Parenthood.
So I think this is Keanu's first feature-length movie. And
oh, really?
Yes. So he did rise like a phoenix out of the ashes of this movie.
But this came out the same year, I think, as Bill and Ted. Because Bill and Ted was 85, right?
Oh, was it? No, I thought it was later than that.
Either way, they're like,
this was 86, but yeah, he wasn't famous. I remember when we taped it off of television, we had like the promo because we taped all the commercials.
Oh God,
I
hope you still have it. I would love to see the commercials on that.
I mean, it's on a VHS. Do you have a VHS player?
I will find one. We need to see the commercials. This is your Christmas assignment, Amanda.
Well, remember all those like Christmas commercials from the 80s? It was like Crystal Barbie and then different Flintstone cereal commercials.
Yeah.
But they would put a promo for this movie in the middle of the commercials, and Keanu wasn't even built. It was like Drew Barrymore, Richard Mulligan, Eileen Brennan. Like, those were the famous people at the time.
Oh,
we're just drifting off. This movie has given us the same level of brain injury that Lisa sustains by hitting her head really hard in that tree.
Yeah. By the way, listeners, I'm looking at Amanda like, what does happen next? Because I'm just still just like,
it's like, I can't remember.
I don't know the
this
plot.
Movie is a concussion.
Yeah, because even, oh God, I can't believe I'm going to do this. At least Rudolph had a clear quest plot. It's a quest plot that didn't make sense, but to me, to this Jew from Long Island, I lost the thread multiple times watching this. But, you know, my kids didn't, just, you know, weirdly. But, yeah.
Well, this next scene is a perfect example that there is not a lot of long-term thinking going on in this, and that they keep changing the purpose of this movie. So we've got Jack is in prison. Lisa comes up with the idea of a jailbreak. They go to the jail and they try to plead his case, but also steal the keys at the same time.
Right.
And this is when the very hilariously bad Keanu Reeves song singing through the prison bars is cut out. And I'm so sad. I'm going to try to find this online somewhere.
I'll post it on the socials if I find it.
Most of the scene where, to distract the judge, Lisa from Cincinnati tells an extremely long, boring story about Pete Rose.
Oh, that's right.
Which
I had to tell my kids who Pete Rose is.
Yeah, they just cut to the end of it on this version that's only 90 minutes long, but the 2.5 hour version, her story about Pete Rose just keeps going and going and going, like giving the whole career record of Pete Rose, which is kind of funny in hindsight, given wasn't he like suspended from Major League Baseball for gambling?
Yeah. Well, yeah. The Toy Master was like, oh, you're from Cincinnati. You must know Pete Rose.
I know Pete Rose. Yeah.
Yeah. I did have to be like, oh, that's a famous baseball player, like to my kids who had like no idea who that is. Yeah.
They show them taking the keys. They let Jack out. They sneak him out the back. And then Lisa leads the judge into the empty cell and locks him in there. And this is where I'm arguing there's no long-term thinking going on, because Toyland's not that big. What are you going to do when someone lets the judge out of the jail? Like, you literally just locked a judge up. Now what are we doing? And so they go looking for the cookies, and stupidly enough, Jack stands on the same exact trap door that they threw all the cookies down, and they just pull the switch and the door opens. It's like Mr. Burns' trap door in his office.
Yeah.
He goes shooting down, and he's suddenly locked in a cage in Barnaby's underworld under the bowling ball. And this is where I would argue it's torture. Jack is stuck in this cage and Barnaby starts singing a song.
Oh my God. Yeah.
He's just stuck there holding onto the bars again, rattling them like, oh my God, stop singing. Let me out.
At this point in the movie, my attention span started to slip a little bit. I think if I had had like a barrel of beer, maybe I could...
Well, this is why I texted you in the middle of my viewing and said, there's not enough alcohol in my house.
No. I didn't have any. I was like, I'm going to watch this straight. Let's see what it is.
Yeah. No, this scene, though, does contain my favorite line of the whole movie. Barnaby is talking to his nephew who's in prison, and they're in this like slimy little black dungeon of a place, and then just slips in the line, for an evil person, I'm very well organized, don't you think?
Oh, I know. I noted that line.
I love that line. I feel like that must have been ad-libbed or something. I feel Richard Mulligan just making that up on the spot, but it's so sarcastic, and it's almost like a nod to like, this movie's stupid, but for an evil person, I'm very well organized, don't you think? Like, I kind of want to put that on my LinkedIn profile as a tagged line, you know? For an evil person, I'm very well organized.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of funny.
That's the peak humor of this whole movie for me.
It is the peak humor.
Yeah. But wait, I skipped over a whole scene I just realized, which you didn't even notice.
I didn't even notice. What scene? How important
all of these scenes are. After they break Jack out of jail, they go to hang out with the Toy Master, who's played by Pat Morita of The Karate Kid, who, yay, like, he just got nominated for an Oscar right before filming this. What are you doing in this movie? Like, seriously.
Oh my God.
Oscar nominated Pat Morita in here as the Toy Master. And so they show up at it's like his Willy Wonka chocolate factory. And
or
man,
a rundown Michaels, as we were saying earlier.
Or a rundown Michaels / Hallmark gift shop.
Yeah.
But, oh, wait. So the whole reason I circled back to this, let's go hang out with the Toy Master scene, is that the Toy Master reveals he has a secret bottle of evil hiding in his wardrobe. And because Barnaby has his weird bird thing that can see everything, he finds out that there's a bottle of evil. So now the bottle of evil becomes sort of the purpose of this movie. So Barnaby's kidnapping each of the characters one at a time. He gets Mary next after she goes housebreaking in the bowling ball looking for Jack. This was actually, so Mary's kind of a useless character. This was the one moment where it was like, all right, actually she's doing something productive here. So a small amount of effort on her part. Otherwise she'd just be like a maid Marian useless. And we don't like characters like that, as you've heard on other episodes.
Yeah, we'd like strong female characters. I was so lost in the plot. I don't even think... I mean, you still have me at Child Bride and Girl of the Week.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there's any points for bravery here.
I'm giving her a slight pass because up until this point, she's been very useless. So she finally did something, but she got herself kidnapped and boom, here we are. So now she and Jack are down in the dungeon. Barnaby comes storming in with his goons. He steals the bottle of evil. Lisa and Georgie are convinced by the Toy Master that they have to go stop Barnaby, get the bottle of evil back. They're going to go find him by going out of the gate guarded by the teddy bears into the forest of the night. And they go out with, she's holding a pink baseball bat.
I love the pink baseball bat. I thought that
and
was funny.
He has a pink wrench. She's going all Harley Quinn out there, and he's got a wrench. Like, he's so useless.
Talk, you know what's so funny, characters. Though? Like, my son, who's just into the violent part of all movies, he was like,
oh, they got the bat and the wrench out. This is real.
He was like, well, they have the weapons. They have weapons, yeah. So they could go into the forest. Like, so again.
But they're also still toys.
I know, but he's like, oh,
take the toys.
He doesn't care that it's a stupid wrench and a baseball bat. Like, he's like, they're ready.
You're battling evil with a baseball bat and a wrench.
Yeah, that was totally fine for my son. He felt like that made them ready for battle.
They go wandering in the woods for about a minute and a half. And are also kidnapped. Boom. Barnaby opens the bottle of evil and is just like, I'm going to turn you all into trolls. Actually, this is where Keanu Reeves has this line where as Lisa and Georgie are sliding down the slime tunnel to end up in the cage with Jack and Mary, they get there and Jack points at what's going on in the dark and just says, he's got trolls, hundreds of ugly trolls. They ate all the cookies.
Oh my God.
And it's like the dumbest line.
Well, because he's like, you know, they jailed him for grand cookie larceny. So he's looking for the other guy.
He's got the evidence now, but I can just feel Keanu Reeves being like, I have to say what? Oh, fine. Yep, let's do it. Do it. Next take. Go.
At this point in the movie where all the characters are converging in the bowling ball in the basement, and they're all there. My kids are kind of talking about it. And I realized that my son this whole time had been calling Barnaby Barbie. And aww. So he just kept referring to the character as Barbie.
Mr. Barbie.
Mr. Barbie. And
it fits with the Toyland theme.
I know. And I just didn't correct him. And it sort of went in my mind as like the drag situation. So because I think at this point he's like, Barbie's going to get him with the evil thing. Like, and I'm like, who's going to get who with what? I'm like, Barbie is?
Skixie Elvira Barbie. It was a very limited release.
Skixie Elvira Barbie. Yeah. So they thought that was hilarious.
That's adorable. Oh.
Yeah. So even he was picking up on the drag vibes. So, you know.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Oh my God. So Skixie Elvira Barbie opens the bottle of evil and he's trying to turn them all into trolls to join his army of trolls.
I'm still on Skixie Elvira Barbie. I can't get past it.
We're just going to call him that the rest of the episode. The green mist takes over the whole room and they're yelling, just don't breathe it. And they're slowly being turned into monsters, except for Lisa, who realizes that she's immune to the bottle of evil. And there's only one reason she's immune and no one else is. And it's because she's from Cincinnati. She starts a reprise of that god-awful song that's been stuck in my head all week and makes them one by one sing that terrible song about Cincinnati with her until they kind of snap out of it 5 seconds later. And then she moves to the next person. Even as a kid, I think I knew, like, no, this is stupid. Like, I get this is a concussion fever dream, but this just doesn't make any sense. So,
yeah, the simplicity of it was fine for my kids. Of course, like, in these movies, it's, you know, even though we're talking about how convoluted it is, I couldn't even follow it. Good guy, bad guy. Oh, they're in jail. They have to come up with some sort of MacGyver to get out of there. Young listeners, that's MacGyver is short for like busting out of something with a paperclip. And so like it was okay with them, at least for my son. It was like a convenient plot point of singing. Oh. So it didn't strike them as dumb, I don't think. So,
I hope he never gets in serious trouble and is sitting there like C-I-N-C-I-N-N-A-T-I-S.
Oh my God, can you imagine? Like him sitting in the principal's office.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. He's like stuck on a bench outside the principal's office. The best town in OHIO.
He
was saying, get me out of here.
Oh my God, hilarious. When kids watch movies though, it's like they always still believe that the good guys are going to prevail. So someone has to come up with something. It has to be simple, is that's why they could like buy into this stuff. And I'll say, just to harken back to Dark Crystal again, or even some other movies that we've watched where, or Prince of Thieves, when we talked about the evil Sheriff of Nottingham, and that when the villain is unhinged, it does sort of like rattle kids more because they're just like, wait, I think a good guy could bite the dust.
Yeah.
So the simplicity of this, you know, equally so when something's simple and it's a very clear thing, they just buy into it.
Okay.
At this point, I was glad I watched with my kids because I would be like, oh my God. I was like so surprised they were still paying attention at this point.
Wow. But having done it as a kid, like I get their point of view, you know, it was engaging. Yeah. You're in a very dark, slimy place and you're singing a song about Ohio. So, woo! Our four useless heroes are underneath Toyland running for their lives. Then they find a ladder that goes up to the basement of the cookie factory and Georgie can't get his fat ass up the ladder. They do call him fat ass at many points in this movie, so their words, not mine.
I mean, I guess if you live in Toyland, you never have to, like, escape from shit.
Well, there must be ladders in the cookie factory, or, like, if you live in a shoe, there's ladders in that architecture.
Wait, is he one of the kids who lives in a shoe?
He's not, but he probably lives in something equally weird. There's got to be a ladder in whatever he's living in. I don't know. What do you think he lives in? We've got a shoe. We've got a bowling ball. Like, what other household objects would you put Georgie Porgy in?
He probably lives in, like, the food pantry.
Yeah, seriously. He lives in a giant cookie jar. Oh, duh.
Oh, there my God. We got it.
Yes. All right. So the plot thickens. No, it doesn't. The plot doesn't thicken. The plot is just a congealed mess at this point. So... back to the Toy Masters, because Barnaby is coming with his army of troll monster thingies, and the Toy Master, once again, is unhelpful, but this time, very specifically, he doesn't point at Lisa, he just says to the room, I can't do anything as long as one person in Toyland doesn't believe in toys. And this comes out of nowhere, like this was not raised as a stake earlier. But basically, this is the moment where it's like, this is all your fault, Lisa, according to the Toy Master.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, and the whole idea is that, it's a callback to at the beginning where she's basically a caretaker to her siblings in the real world versus being a kid in and of herself. But that is such an abstract thing for kids. Like, I actually had to, like, remind my son that that was part of it. And even then, he didn't really quite get it. My daughter got it, but she's, like, 11. But I guess every Christmas movie has to have, like, you have to believe in Santa, you have to believe in miracles and angels and all that stuff. It just kind of comes with the Christmas movie territory.
Yeah, that just seems so artificial at that point. I don't know. I'm totally overthinking it, though. Like, who cares? Yes, Lisa, your fault. You ruined Toyland. You ruined Christmas. So my sister Emily's favorite thing at Christmas is just spontaneously pointing at people and yelling, you ruined Christmas, for just the most minor infractions.
I'm going to try to do that this year.
Oh, my God. Yeah, just anything. Like, you show up 5 minutes late for Christmas, like, you ruined Christmas. That's it. You ruined Christmas. Yeah, it gets more shrill, too, like... become a family tradition.
Oh, how fun. Yeah.
So Lisa ruined Christmas, ruined Toyland, and now they're going to get attacked by an army of evil and trolls and Skeksis Elvira Barbie. They're coming.
Yeah. I mean, that's a scary thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're working up towards the big battle. Isaac, my son, he liked the battle. My daughter, I guess, did too. I mean, because all the wooden soldiers... come alive because Lisa believes in something, though we haven't established what that is. So yeah. It's like a real battle between like the troll situations and the wooden soldiers. And my son got excited that like, he's like, they have cannons. And
this is the first time we are aware of an actual weapon in Toyland. Like, why did Lisa take a bat into the woods?
And the wrench.
She could have had a cannon this whole time.
I know.
You're kidding me. I actually thought the battle was hilarious because first you have teddy bears running for their lives. And that's just funny.
They're just like, I'm out.
The citizens of Toyland who are inherently useless decide that they're going to build a barricade.
If you asked a child to make a barricade, this is what it would look like.
It's one blanket short of a blanket fort. Like, that's the level of quality engineering going on here. It is not holding anything back. It's just silly and pink and funny looking. And meanwhile, all these citizens of Toyland are just throwing things. And that's hilarious to me too. Like, they're just weaponizing every little cookie, every little tomato. Just,
I guess it had more like food fight vibes than battle vibes, but I guess that's what's appropriate here.
Yeah, but they're not a trained army. They're nursery rhyme characters. They throw things. That's all they got.
And also, like, I just saw this yesterday. They won the battle. And does that send Skeksis Elvira Barbie away?
So you need the weapons to win this thing. And the soldiers have the weapons. So in some way, even though there's been this whole pacifist thing coming out of the Toy Master the whole time, I mean, it kind of has the same...
He was like a secret prepper.
He was, kind of. He had an army in his closet the whole time. I come away with, like, a Team America sort of... Like, this is the moral of the whole story is you need an army.
Is that you need to be a prepper?
You need to be a prepper weapons. With an army in your closet.
Hide it behind some shitty Michaels / Hallmark store. Yeah, okay. I get it. And I get the moral.
Say you have a bottle of evil that actually doesn't do anything if you sing a song about Cincinnati. Yes, the toy soldiers shoot their little cannons and shoot their little guns, and they drive the monsters out into the forest of the night, but then they push Barnaby out towards them, and he does have this moment where he's like, I can't go there. I don't control them anymore.
It's definitely a fun ending, though, to have him just lose control.
Because... Yeah, no, I love the bad guy losing control of his own creation.
I mean, apparently he's not that organized. Yeah.
Oh, you're right. Shoot. Yeah, I'm not putting that on my LinkedIn page then.
Yeah, right. I am an organized villain up into the point of battle, and then I fall apart. That is the bio of Skeksis Elvira Barbie.
I need a bumper sticker of all of this.
I want to see this movie in drag. Like, it should all be done in drag is what this movie needs.
Gotta bring back the Keanu Reeves songs. You really need all the full Keanu. Like,
the full Keanu. That's what the movie is called.
You need his Keanu. Prison song. Yeah, I want his prison song back in this movie.
The full Keanu, but make it drag. Yeah, that's what this movie needs. Anyway, I just made it better. For people who actually might listen to this podcast or just generally are like, I'm going to go back and watch this movie. You're welcome.
There's probably at least one listener who likes our podcast because we talk about furries so much, and it's come up again this episode. So this episode is for you, whoever you are, at least the third, possibly the fourth mention of furries. This episode is for you. Yeah. Merry Christmas.
Yeah. So with the battle, like, and then, you know, you have the battle and then you have a wedding, like the teenage wedding. This movie has like five endings.
Yeah, it's very Lord of the Rings. Like, let's keep ending.
Yeah, it's like Lord of the Rings third movie.
Then end again. Yeah.
Yeah, you have the battle one. You have a wedding. You have a series of goodbyes. You have another parade. Then she wakes up. She, meaning Lisa,
wakes up. Wait, no, you're skipping the big reveal. She gets in the back of the sleigh, then goes, oh, I didn't say goodbye to the Toy Master. Turns around and, hey, it's Pat Morita playing Santa Claus with more facial hair suddenly. Right. And that's how she gets home from her giant concussion dream.
Yeah, so that's an ending that I had even forgot to mention in the series of endings. Maybe because I was like, ready for it to end. I was like, is this the ending? Is this the real one?
Oh, God. So the final ending of this is she wakes up and she's on her couch at home. And her mother's sitting next to her. Her train wreck of a mother is sitting next to her.
The train wreck of her mother is probably drunk. I don't know. At this point, I didn't care. I mean...
No, you were happy it was over. Secretly, I was happy it was over, too, at this point. And this is the 90-minute version.
This is so funny. So the movie's over now, right? Whatever, it was late for my kids. Like, I let them kind of stay up late to watch. I was originally thinking, like, there's no way they're going to like this. And they're just going to want to go to bed. But they liked it. They weren't just, like, in it for the screen time. They were, like, okay with watching this movie, which is, like, a whole other, like, funny thing to me. And my son's brushing his teeth, and he's like, Mama, I think that bad guy... He was really the guy from the store. Like,
yes.
And it's like just occurred to him.
Way
like,
to put it together.
Like 20 minutes after the movie ended, it was like, I was like, that's right, like, bud. That's right.
Skeksis Elvira Barbie, I think it was the toy store manager. Yeah. Love it.
And this is so
good
funny where
insight.
Like the gender is just like, he really, I think, thought it was like a woman. Like, that's why he called him Barbie. It's like,
I love it. I love it. Wait, so your daughter is the same age as Lisa Drew Barrymore in this movie.
That's right.
And Drew Barrymore was 11 when she filmed this. Did she have any reaction to watching someone her age be anal retentive 11-year-old?
Yeah. I mean, I think kids like seeing themselves as the hero. It's like, we talked about this for the Home Alone episode. She was like, I think this movie was okay. But for an 11-year-old, that's a rave review, you know?
Hey, nice. Yeah. That's a 5-star rating from a tween.
And she noticed that the kid was like, that Lisa was her age. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to like oversell this to like parents. Like, it's not like my kids loved it. They weren't entranced like they were for Dark Crystal, and they didn't love it. Like, let's say they loved Robin Hood or Home Alone or Princess Bride or things like that, or Addams Family even. But they enjoyed it, I guess, so much more than I thought they would. And just going back to just my own kids' reaction, like, they did not like Rudolph. But they didn't mind this. So if you're just going to weigh these like torture Christmas movies that you make me watch, I think my kids liked this one better than Rudolph. Yeah. So,
which amazing.
I was kind of surprised. So if folks haven't listened to us before, we're doing this episode slightly differently. We usually go through what we liked about it, the cringy things, after we talk about all the characters. And I just don't think we need to talk about the cringy things, Amanda, unless there's something we missed.
It's not cringy, but the one thing I want to call out is just high school sports. I had several concussions, and I never once got transported to Toyland.
That is disappointing. And
this movie set me up for failure. It did not manage my expectations for what a concussion would do to you. I don't do drugs, in that I'm missing a whole level of this movie, because it's just so many things about this are weird, but I will defend the fact that I find it hilarious to watch Keanu Reeves be held back from a fight by full-size teddy bears. That just needs to happen.
That
needs to happen in more movies. That really would have made John Wick a lot better. Everybody who's filming with Keanu Reeves, please take this note. He needs to be held back by adult-sized teddy bears in every single film going forward.
Yeah.
Jess, we're going to have to rate this movie.
We are. So we'll rate it for, does it live up to us as adults? So it's a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being garbage, 10 being Princess Bride. So I am curious how you're going to rate this, because, you know, this is where our ratings do differ sometimes, when one of us has a nostalgia for it and one of us doesn't. Nostalgia does play a role in our adult rating.
I actually want to propose we do the kid rating first, because I feel
let's do the kid rating. I can go first for kids. So I was thinking about it, that I actually went back and looked at the Rudolph ratings. I'm a harsh rater when it comes to kids.
Is.
I have to go higher than Rudolph, but I cannot go past a 5. But I think a 5 is high for this movie. I mean, I give this a 5. I could be convinced to go a little bit higher for kids, because they just genuinely enjoy it. I might even talk myself into a 6. Maybe.
Ooh. All right. I'll let you sit with that for a moment.
So I'm going to sit with a 5 right now.
I'm going to do that awkward thing where I give a half point. I'm going to go 5.5. It's slightly above average for a kid, but it's not good.
So I think I'm going to follow you there. Even I'm going to do 5.5 as well.
Okay. 2 5.5s coming on up.
Yeah. So that's not a bad start to this movie.
All right. So the moment of truth here. Adults. What do we think?
Adult rating. So does it live up for adults? What do you think, Amanda?
Oh, all the pressure is on me, since I was the one who watched this as a kid. It clearly does not match my memory of it as a kid, all those times I watched it. I am balancing how cringy I find it now as an adult. I think the big tell is that they cut over an hour off of the version I used to watch, and I still felt like this was way too long and needed it to end.
I agree. I think I have in my notes, I think this movie is an hour too long.
It's 90 minutes. Yeah, no, it would have been a great half an hour special. I'm very, very uncomfortable even thinking about rewatching this movie again. I'm going 3 on this, and that's generous.
3. Yeah, I was hoping this would fall into kitsch and be sort of fun to watch. It wasn't. And I think you could argue some that have been low rated here sometimes fall into that, like Mad Max kind of falls into that a little bit, like Thunderdome. I am going a 2 for adults, because, yeah, there's just nothing here. There's moments of funny things, but only if I sort of like makeup aside, drag plot in my head. So that's a 2 yeah. from me. And Harsh, what's our total, Amanda?
16. And 16. It's tied for our second lowest. It's tied with Ferris Bueller's Day Off, but it's not as low as Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome, but you really sunk the ratings on that one. So
I did sink that one.
You did. You gave that a bunch of 2s across the board, which I disagree with, but you know what? We agreed to disagree.
We did. You know what? Yeah. That movie lives rent-free in my head. I almost want to revisit my score for Thunderdome. But anyway.
All right.
16. I think Ferris Bueller is better, but that's okay. I accept the 16. Is it too high? Is 16 too high, Amanda?
Possibly. Our 5.5s for the kids were really generous, but your kids enjoyed it, so... It's lower than Rudolph.
Lower than Rudolph. I see. That's the key. I am glad this is lower than Rudolph. And I did not think we would ever reach such a low. So the final thing is we each have to assess whether this lives up. And we both have to agree in order for it to live up. I think we kind of know where this is going. We could probably say it at the same time. I having not watched it and don't have any nostalgia for it, I cannot say that it lives up.
This movie sucks. It does not live up. Big, fat, no. But I've enjoyed talking about it. I want to say I enjoyed rewatching it, but that's a lie. And I really, really need the stupid Cincinnati song out of my head.
So, listeners, if you disagree, if you just want to, you know, continue to have that song in Amanda's head and think this movie is great, let us know at LiveUpPod on all the socials or at LiveUpPod on Gmail. I don't just want to know whether folks disagree or agree with us. I want to know if they like this movie still as an adult. Why? That I want to know.
I imagine this actually has a cult following. Like, we saw online that people, I mean, some of the comments on YouTube for the trailer were remarkable. Just people who thought they dreamed this movie and that it turned out to be a real movie.
Yes, that was my favorite comment. Yeah, so I'm sure there is a following for it. And I think if you and I were into heavy drugs, it might be more palatable. I don't know.
I think on shrooms, this movie with the giant teddy bears would be amazing. But we're not.
And, amazing. Oh. If Hollywood wants to make a drag version of this, I would see it. So just throwing that out there. All right. Thanks for listening, everyone.